Hey guys, Paul here. Come along and see us. Let's go.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Wednesday. And everything's stable. Everything's good.
Yeah.
We're very happy to be with you today. And I am so many things to talk about today. But the first thing I want to mention to each and every one of you is that there are, count them, only 14 cabins left for the Love Boat Cruise. 14. Did I have that right?
Well, you're,
I think so.
You're 14. You're just doing four with your hands.
He did one four.
Don't pick nit me.
No, you're good. 14 cabins.
14 cabins.
Yes.
14 cabins are left. For those of you that are procrastinators and those of you that might be saying, man, I wish, you have a chance to get involved in our big thing coming up on December 5th with the live show that we will do, with the cocktail party, with the game show night. We haven't decided what kind of game shows we're going to do. We probably won't decide that until we're actually on the boat.
I think Rob and I have an idea.
Do you remember that show that was on...
You've talked?
Yeah. You've been involved, too. We've planned the game shows.
Oh, you mean, so, like, is this going to be a surprise for me?
No,
if you don't remember the meeting,
you forgot.
It will be a surprise.
Well, it's going to be like Jeopardy or something like that?
No, do you remember that show? I think it was on HBO Max where they revealed people naked just one step at a time. And it was like a dating show, but they were fully nude. That's what we're going to do.
I'm excited about it.
You should be.
That should be fun. So, for those of you that now, I think enough time has passed. We're now, I was glad to hear that from the powers that be on the MSCC side, a beautiful ship, that we will have 14 cabins left. And the deadline again, they have another deadline for us, which is August. And please get your cabin if you want to join us for the TMOS Love Boat Cruise. It's a beautiful ship. It's going to be a great time. And we're excited about it. I've never done in my entire career. I've never done anything like this. So it should be very,
very
cool.
And don't book the cabin on your own and then send me an email trying to get into all the TMOS stuff. It doesn't
work that way. Got to do it the right way.
So they go to our website, right? MikeOmaraShow.com. That's the
and
best way
cruise.
To do it.
Yep.
And click cruise, and that's how you get there. So I wanted to get
stop
that out
procrastinating.
Of the way.
Now is not the time to start procrastinating. Start
absolutely
procrastinating
not.
Later.
We've been trying to get together with Chad Dukes for a long time and have him on the show, and it was determined a while back that Chad would come out and join us when he had a big, big announcement to make, and that big, big announcement is that there's Chad right down there. Hi, Chad.
I knew you meant 14, Mike. Josh is sticking the mud.
Thank you. I appreciate you supporting me on that one. It was determined that he would come on when he had this big announcement, and that announcement is that Chad's been involved in a motion picture, which is so exciting. I think I think most of us that get into this business at all want to do something like that at some point, be on television or in the movies. And this is a real movie that's coming out. And every time I look or hear the title of the film, I just channel a voice that a lot of you don't know in our listening audience now. And DC people might, but even the DC people that are younger wouldn't remember this guy. That's how long it's been. His name is Jack Kent Cook, and the movie is called Tapawingo. And Tapawingo is the movie. And Chad, we can do it two ways. You can tell us about the movie after we run the trailer, or we can run the trailer. You can tell us about it, and then we'll run the trailer, whatever way you want to do it.
Well, considering I already provided the biggest laugh I'm going to this afternoon backstage before your show began, you might as well just run the trailer, because I'm not going to add anything.
When you added that laugh, by the way, which unfortunately nobody heard, but it is why That is something where, man, I could have you here every day. I felt this enormous weight lifted off of me. I don't get that support. And, it would just be, and it's, I feel the same way each and every day. Look at Rob's look right now. Mm-hmm. To have someone else to acknowledge my feelings as a radio person.
Chad, won't you join him every day?
I'd love to. I do know the feeling of just believing in your heart of hearts that you're killing it, and then looking around and Easter Island has surrounded you and nobody will sell shit. I absolutely understand where you're coming from, Mike.
Well, Tapawingo is the movie. Let's run the trailer, and then you can tell us about everything that's coming up with it. Let's take a look at Tapawingo.
Scoob residents, Ramona speaking.
Hi, Mom. This is Nate. Phil and I were wondering what you're making for dinner.
Beanie Weenies. You two want to eat here?
Beanie Weenies. No thanks.
Show a little initiative down in the mailroom.
Where are my ding dongs?
We may be able to bring you on full time.
Can't be locked into a 9-to-5.
Tell me about it.
You work here 3 hours a day and you still gotta call your friends.
I gotta go.
Maybe we should look into some mercenary work. You know, storming haciendas.
Hable, senor, por favor.
What? High-powered explosives.
Hit the deck!
Protecting the weak and stupid.
Did you break any fingers?
No, there was some butt hair at the park that got in the middle.
This is my park!
Do you have a mustache?
Kind of.
Hey! Do you want to tell me why our yard was vandalized?
I treat regression in geometry.
Nice ride.
What is this?
My overriding fear is that we may have stirred up a bit of a hornet's nest.
We could do this the easy way or the hard way.
I thought you had to work today.
You talk about being a mercenary. It's time to put your toe in the water.
A core punch is when you head directly into the eye of the storm.
Pick up Oswald after school again, and you won't like what happens.
We have a client with certain security issues.
How do we know you haven't forgotten your moves? Checks out.
Things have escalated.
How much?
A butt ton.
That's not a smile.
We're gonna have to think outside the box on this one.
I devise a possible avenue of attack.
Doggone.
Someone crosses the line. I'm hauling my brother Stoney.
Yeah.
Is that Billy Zane that I...
Billy
is
Zane.
That the Billy Zane at the end of that? That
yeah.
Billy effing Zane.
You don't recognize my brother? Yeah. You don't recognize my brother in the film? We don't look fraternal to you?
Oh, my God. That is fantastic. That is so... and right away, you get a major star with, you know, my lips hurt real bad.
John Peters.
All right, so tell me all about how long ago did you do it? How did it come about? Everything else? How does a lonely, podcast entrepreneur, Fairfax County entrepreneur, dive into the world of feature films?
I was wondering how many pejoratives were going to come out there from Mike's edge when he was describing my current state. Well, it's funny, Mike, because like when I got cast, it was right after. See, you had the dignity of being fired. I was canceled. And I've got to say, it's a very different set of circumstances.
I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. I am sure. And I want to get to, if you can, I want to get into that as well.
Sure.
Just to chat with you about that. Was a while back as well. So, how did the movie come out? I mean, it come about. It's cool.
You know our former employer; they treat you fairly. So, when I was, I was in the throes of getting canceled, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I hadn't started the Chad Duke show yet, and I got a call from a guy that said, "We want you to read for a movie," and I knew it was are you guys? Forgive me. Do you curse on YouTube?
We can say you're it fine. And we'll
clean it up.
I got a call from. I was assumed it was a dickhead Reddit troll person that was trying to make me feel worse than I already did.
Right.
And I got three or four calls from him, and I said, "Look, if you want me to read for anything, I need to talk to whoever the director of this promotion is." And the guy called me, and his name was Dylan. And he's listened to your show, Mike. He listened to my show. He's a big JFK P1 for years. And he said, "I've got this part for this creepy guy, and I think it'd be perfect for you. Have you ever acted?" And I said, "I acted at like Braddock Secondary School. I lettered, in fact, in a little theater."
Theater arts.
Of course. And he was like, okay, well, that's good for me. So I read for a part, like a week went by. I didn't think anything of it. They came back and they said, I did well enough. They offered me a larger part. And I read for that. And they, I guess they dug it. And we filmed in the middle of COVID. So we were down in Hopewell, Virginia, outside of Richmond. It was 150 degrees. I can't explain to you how hot it is. And we had masks on and they had COVID officials and we almost got shut down while we were doing it. And my first day on the set, I have a big fight scene with Napoleon Dynamite. Like I have a fight with John Hader boy and we're rolling around on the ground and roots and I'm big and fat and out of shape. And I'm getting like chafing and, but my only goal in the whole thing, I think you guys can appreciate this. I just didn't want to be the one that screwed everything up. I didn't want to be the reason why they had to say cut. We got to go again. So I knew all my lines, and whenever they asked me to do something, I said, okay. So there's scenes where I'm hanging off of cameras and stuff, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just like, I'm not going to.
You're not going to screw it up.
So
yeah.
I hope not. I mean, if people watch it, they may decide differently, but I did during the filming process, I don't think I was the reason that we had any problems.
That is, I mean, to dive into that situation and to be suddenly thrust into a real feature film being shot, as dumb as it looks, it's just, and it has that great kind of Napoleon Dynamite quality to it, which, and it just looks like fun. I mean, that's the first word I would say. And so you dive in and you don't know. When do you know that everything is okay, that everything's ready to go, that you will be? Obviously, you can end up on the cutting room floor, but if you have a large part, that's probably not going to happen. When did you breathe a sigh of relief? Because I'm sure that's the way it goes making feature films and people I've talked to that do it. You breathe a certain sigh of relief. I'm going to be in the movie. It's real. You know, from start to finish, when it started to that point, how long did that take before you knew you were going to be a real part of this?
There was like six or seven of those that you just described. One was when I actually showed up in Richmond and I realized there was a movie set, because up until that point, I thought this was an elaborate hoax. I hadn't been paid. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm standing in wardrobe and they're giving me these crazy clothes. I said, okay, that's real. And then when we got out onto the set and I realized I've got scenes with John Hader, I've got scenes with Billy Zane, like there's sequences where it's just me and Billy Zane in a car and we're driving around Richmond. I'm like, well, they can't cut me out. Like, I can't be cut out of this movie. Y'all say cut the guy they're paying all the money for out.
Were you tickled to see how well you were featured in the trailer? I mean, that was wild. Right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, and the trailer got 500,000 views, I think. So, like, it's just people that have seen it that clearly don't give an S about me. But the thing that kind of was tough is that, I don't know how you guys are. I always like to think that movie stars aren't really handsome and they're not better than us. And if you're standing next to Billy Zane and he's looking at you and he's got those piercing blue eyes, and I'm just like, he's in Tombstone, he's in Titanic, he's the Phantom. And I'm watching and I'm like, oh, you are better than me. You're better than me by leaps. And so that part, it's tough to not just loathe yourself so much while you're interacting with these people to try to be peers, because John Hader, Heater is an incredible dude. Like, he's really nice and affable, and so he made it easy. But Billy Zane is a goddamn movie star, and so if you're acting with him, it's like, I don't deserve to be here, and I just have to pretend as hard as I can that we should be in the same scene together. So yeah, it was a lot of learning, and he was only there for a week, and so it was a lot of stuff crammed in. We were shooting at 3 o'clock in the morning because he had to be on a plane to go shoot in Greece like 2 days after that. So It was quite a trial by fire.
How long did you shoot? If he was there for a week, how long were you down there?
I came back because I'm a loser. So I had nothing going on. So like everybody,
so you were on call.
Everybody else had hard ass. They're having their martinis. Everybody give a round of applause. And Dylan's like, can you come back down next weekend and film some other stuff? I'm like, yeah, I got nothing going on. So,
there you go. Yeah, there you go.
I was about 3 weeks, I think, total for me to get all of my scenes.
Cool. Yeah.
I looked it up. It was June 21 when you sent me this picture to prove the movie was real.
Yeah. Yeah, that was terrifying. And I'm actually holding on to the camera there. And the reason I look like that is they start pushing towards me and I'm supposed to look like I'm fighting, but I'm physically just fighting to stand up. And there are 300 people around you and it's 100 million degrees out and I got chafing and swamp ass and They have me in black denim, Mike, and a bowling shirt and cowboy boots. And I'm like, please, Jesus. And I'm having a panic attack. And I drank the night before. It was just, wow. I can't say it was. The first day was a tough day.
It's just so cool. I'm so envious because I'd love to have done something like that. It's neat. And now you're taking it to Comic-Con. And what's the distribution with all of it? How's it going to work? How is it going to go out to the public?
So Dylan's made movies before. He's very talented. As you can see, he wanted to make a Wes Anderson like comedy, and I think he's done a fantastic job. Rob, you're very familiar, and it's been 2 years of him. I went to so many. There's an Arkansas movie festival that I went to. There was the Virginia one was huge. We went to that one. We've been all over the country, kind of marketing this. I went to 4 or 5 of them, and some of the bigger stars. Gina Gershon went to New York, Now the movie's been signed by Magnolia, and we have a distribution deal with that. And the first step, as you mentioned, San Diego Comic-Con, that'll be on Saturday the 26th. It's not Hall H where they do all the Marvel stuff, but it's the second biggest hall. There's 2,200 seats. So if you're in the area, you can go. But
it's room 2 BCF if you want to buy your tickets. That's where it's going to be. Thank you.
Probably should have known that. I can't tell you how many guests I've had on radio shows that have no idea what to plug for their own stuff, and I just curse a blue streak whenever they hang up the phone afterwards. But then hopefully after that, guys, it'll be, I think, late August. There's a date that's kind of confirmed in late August, but Dylan asked me not to confirm it, because you have more listeners. If my listeners find out, it doesn't really matter. If you guys' listeners find out, it kind of gets into the ether. So,
it's so cool.
It is. Congrats, man.
I love it. And, and it's been a while since we have chatted. The background, if there is a stranger background with another radio personality that I have, it's with this guy. We still keep in touch with each other, and we're always friendly when we see each other. And Rob, you're going to probably have to help me with the history, because I'm terrible at it.
All right.
But my memory is first and foremost, Big O and Dukes coming on to WJFK.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in a very, very short period of time, I totally got into their show.
Yeah.
I thought they were just, the senses of humor were perfect. It matched
it
perfectly.
Was perfect for the ride home, because it would be right after us and we'd go out to our cars and we turn it on. I loved having you guys on the radio on the way home.
Thank you, Rob. It was so fun.
And it was, and then time passes, and my radio partner ends up leaving. Don leaves and goes on to other things. I hold down the fort for about a year, and then the station changes format and goes to all sports, and they keep Chad in, and they move Chad to the afternoon, where that was my time slot, and they hooked Chad up with LeVar Arrington. And through all that, I don't remember. I remember I've always joked about it. But I know there has to be a time. There was probably a time right at the beginning when I was, really freaked out about it. But I remember when I got the format change, and I did not stay with the station, that I surprisingly left and felt kind of a world lifted off of me to be out of that daily stuff. And then, the bitterness would come later. So I think I'm getting it right.
I think that before we left, you guys went to middays for a while, or did you do an hour in the afternoon? How did that work?
No, we did 5 hours. Like when they finally got rid of Opie and Anthony in the
middays.
That's
what it was.
Yeah, we took over. So we ultimately were doing 5 hours of radio with Big O and Dukes, and then LeVar and I, because it was his idea and he'd never done radio before, God bless him, he wanted more money, so he volunteered us for 5 hours also. And I was like, LeVar, I don't think you understand type of a commitment that is. And
it's
that's what we did.
When you think about it, when you think about 5 hours of live radio, it is excruciatingly difficult to do. And so after the fact, Chad and I stayed friendly with each other, and it was kind of a back and forth. We don't, you know, we don't communicate regularly, but we do every now and then, like a lot of friends that I have.
Yeah.
And then comes your radio career, and you're chugging along, and you are, you worked with LeVar for
5 years.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you're involved in a cancellation where, you know, you go away. And so, I mean, radio is an extremely difficult medium because there's all sorts of stuff that happens. You have so many other people that are involved with it. And you stay on the podcast and that's you keep that going. And talk to me if you can about, and I don't need to know the history of it as much as the your side of it, where you it happens very, very quickly. It's happened to a lot of people in our business.
Yeah. Well, it's happened to anybody in our business that has not a lot, not a, an enormous amount of power and a huge back catalog of doing a disgusting hot talk guy talk show for decades. I was also still doing Big O and Dukes while I was Chad Dukes versus the World. So I'm doing an FM sports talk radio show where, you know, what I got and ultimately got canceled for, I hear all the time on Sirius XM, you know, like Barstool says worse things every day. It's sure. Just, I'm an uptight, lame Squaresville population, me sports talk radio, which I'm grateful to have a job like being doing an afternoon drive. Mike, it was an honor. I mean, the reason I wanted to do afternoon drive radio was driving by 10800 Main Street and imagining what you and Don look like as I look through the window of the goddamn radio station. So I took it very seriously, but sports talk is super lame, and the jokes that I got fired for, it was a disgruntled ex-employee. I know who it was. It doesn't matter at this point. I've kind of cathartically dispelled it, but they were just clipping stuff I had said years ago on Big O and Dukes and then tagging, like, I don't know, the Washington Examiner and the Washington Post and the DC Sports Blog, and this man's filled with hate. And it was jokes about, like, video games and jokes that were on South Park. I'm not that funny. And so, like, most of my stuff's lifted. So it was like, you know, that it always was a risk that could happen, and it came crashing down. And the only reason why I have a beef with it is the radio station put out a press release that I was hate speech, and they have zero tolerance. And this shit was, excuse me, it was really kind of dirty and really didn't help me moving forward. And I'm like, this could have been handled better. And then the very next day, they're buying Sports Talk 980 and they're hiring Brian Mitchell. And I'm kind of like, okay, maybe there's more going on here than just Dukes is a Zionist or whatever I'm being accused of. So that was pretty much what happened. And then I started my own show and I do what you guys do now.
When you go through that to have the experience of doing it, you are what I would refer to as a hot potato. People can't come near you. I didn't come near you. You know, I was the last guy who was going to come near you.
You texted, though. I don't want to break kayfabe, but both you and everybody was very kind on this end of the sphere.
Yeah, and it's just, talk to me if you can about that when it happens, what it's like to go through. I was fired. That was, you know, people get fired in radio. It happens. Sure. It didn't happen to me a lot in my career, but when it happens, it happens. That has to be a pretty scary time to just realize what's going to, this is your life. This is what you've done since you were a little guy. And now this is happening. I mean, talk to me about that.
You're the first person to ask me these questions, so forgive me if this is disjointed at all, and I appreciate it. What's the scariest part of being canceled is what it could potentially do to your friends. And what it could, this was a very different era. This was years ago where canceling was at its height, and they were, I remember J.P. Finley, people were asking for him to be fired because he did a segment on my show, and that meant he was a white nationalist. I mean, it got crazy for a while. And my producer, I hired this kid Tor, I think you guys are familiar, and he's a great kid, great future in this business. He couldn't take a picture with me. He couldn't wear a Chad Dukes Show shirt when I first started because he's like, I don't want to get canceled. I'm just starting off in this business. And Loud Goat, who I think you guys know, like,
sure,
I wanted to do a show with him immediately, but I'm like, he's got a job. Like, I really felt like a leper for many, many months. And it was very lonely, and I got a good wife, and I got a good dog, and I have a good inner circle, people that meant something to me reached out and said, we know you're not a hateful person. We know who you are. We know your character. And I can't even explain to you how far that goes. So, yeah, it was I haven't thought about it in a while, but it was incredibly dicey. And it was something that definitely makes you stronger. And it's something you have to really work through. You talked about resent, Mike. You feel a lot of resentment. You feel a lot of hate. And you feel like, why didn't anybody stand up for me? And it's like, what are they going to do? Like, what's John Allville going to do to keep my job? You know, what's Grant Paulson going to do to keep my job? There's nothing they can do. And I wouldn't want them to risk their jobs. And so it was a very unique. Getting fired is, I've been fired. I heard you guys talk about moving on and getting markets canceled and stuff like that. Like the best shows I'd ever listened to, they'd all been whacked in radio. I'd never heard of any of them going through what I did. And I'll be honest, I didn't make the impact in my time on the radio that you did, or that ONA did, or that Stern did, or Bubba the Love Sponge, or whomever. So I was nervous about that aspect of it too, that I wouldn't have this massive audience to follow. And Oscar left when I'd asked him 2 days previously, will we keep doing Big O and Dukes if something happens to me? And he said, yes, that went away. So like, not only did I not have Big O and Dukes, I don't have Chad Dukes versus the world. It's like, I got to create something completely new. And thank God for people like Josh Sroka, who reached out to me and said, screw this. We're not letting this hurt what you want to do. We're going to build you something and you're going to be fine. And now I kick myself for being as scared as I was back when it happened, because my life's better than it ever has been. So thank you for asking. I don't think I've ever given that answer.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think the last time I saw you, Chad, was at Cameron Gray's memoriam.
Yeah.
And it was a weird feeling because it was sad, but there were so many JFK people there that I hadn't seen in years, including you. And it was a good feeling to be around them. And it was sort of a mental nod to when things were truly great.
They were better.
I'm wondering that with what you went through, does it sour your memories at all, or do you still think fondly back before the cancellation?
That's a really good question. That was such an amazing day. It was such an awful day, and I miss Cameron a lot. That
I do too.
Came up, but it was great seeing CK. It was great seeing there was a G. Gordon Liddy jacket hanging when you walked in. I mean, there was just so much great stuff, and I miss that. The problem is, we'll never get it back, will we? Like the toothpaste is out of the tube. A building like we had could never even exist anymore at 1800 Main Street. Like, it's a time that you look back on and think, it reminds me of video stores now, where I feel like if I had kids, I'd be incredibly sad that they'll never know the experience of checking out a tape on Friday night and buying candy and going home and having a weekend. Everything's on demand. So I feel that way about radio. And I don't know, how do you guys get as bitter about the proliferation of podcasts as I do? Because every single human being on earth has one of these where we all sit in quadrants, and they're incredibly popular, and they don't have one scintilla of the soul that Hot Talk Radio did, Guy Talk, whatever you
not
want to call
close.
It.
No,
it's not even close.
And it's like all the personality got sucked over to the world of podcasting, and then they put a firecracker in the middle of it, and it exploded into 50 million different podcasts. Yep. And you used to have people that had to come through the trenches and get on the radio to do it, and it was longer. It was much more audience interaction that they used to have. And but I mean, that's the reality. And in my case, I can go back even further and tell you about, you know, WAVA back in the day with the morning show and what radio was back then. And you guys weren't even involved in that.
No,
radio back then was big budgets.
Radio was decaying when I joined it, but there was still some of the fumes, and it was so much fun at the beginning. But to be there for the eventual death of it sucked.
So I can put my finger on what broadcasting in general has turned into. You still have certain guys that are are tapped to be the man, Pat McAfee being a great example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You can't turn on the television anymore without seeing Pat McAfee and that home run derby. I'm so glad it's getting panned, because nothing has ever, ever deserved to be panned more than that piece of garbage that they called broadcasting the other night. And you get that occasionally, but it's really just outside of strong personalities, it's this vanilla bells and whistles, Jimmy Fallon, bright lights and all that. And it's just not what it was. And in the world of podcasting, just to get noticed, You know, Chad had a radio following. I had a radio following. We're able to survive because of that. But there's so much crap out there.
Yeah.
It's very, very frustrating. And to go through what you you know, what you went through is extremely difficult to go through. And the thing that people forget, regardless of the circumstances, when you get axed in any of the business of show,
mm-hmm.
it's public failure.
Yeah.
Failure that is on display for everybody to see. And that makes it extremely difficult as well. Now, as we move on, and in the elephant in the room, we move on. We both shared a radio partner, and we both had kind of a radio partner who went away.
Yeah.
And I think that... I don't know how you feel about it. I don't talk about it that much, but it really feels as though, you know, for me, I really, really regret it that he left the way he did. And it was only after that happened that I sort of said to myself, I took stock of it, and I said, well, he's done it to this guy,
sure.
And he's done it to this guy, and he's done it to this guy. And it just is, it's very, very tough to go through that as well. And in broadcasting, especially our kind of broadcasting, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. You went through it with him when probably, so he got, he left the Big O and Dukes podcast when
I got
that whole whacked thing happened. Mm-hmm. And have you guys maintained any kind of contact at all? Or because we don't talk about it. I don't call you and go, hey, have you talked to Oscar? I don't.
Sure.
I haven't spoken two words to
Mike
Oscar
calls
since
me
he
like
left.
That, but not you.
No, Oscar and I had a phone call. He said, don't be, you know, take the tampon out of your
right.
And be a man. And then kaboom. And I went online right away and just said, that's it, blah, blah, blah. And then he said it was my fault for going online. Well, it was over in my mind when I went online.
That
decision had already been made. I wasn't waiting for you to make that decision.
Right.
I was pissed off. And I'm just wondering whether you've had any contact or what that world looks like. Because we've never talked about it privately or publicly.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with this. Drab T-shirt has been incredibly supportive of me throughout this entire thing, no matter what has happened, and that's been nice. And he always was kind of a bridge between us. My situation, I won't speak to your situation with Oscar. I'm not as familiar with it. I know that you guys did a show together and you did well. I can't blame anyone for wanting to get away from me when that was going down, because it was terrifying for me. It must have been terrifying for him. The part that I kind of don't really understand, well, I do. I always got the sense, and Oscar and I worked well together, and he did a lot for me, and I don't want to say that he didn't. I don't think we would have gotten the job in Phoenix doing radio unless he would have been on the grind. You guys know this. He can hustle, and he can bullshit, and he can, you know, there's things he's really good at. And
absolutely.
I'm not as good at those things. I'm as good at hopefully making the Waka Waka, and that's... That won't get you in the door. I got the man in the saggy, and like, he's different. He's pulling up in an H2 and pitching that happened a couple of times. I always got the feeling that Oscar was very good at finding people that could help him and then using them for as long as they could help him and then kind of casting off. Whether or not he did that with me, I gave him a reason to do it, so I can't say otherwise. As far as speaking with him, about a year after I'd been whacked, I got approached by a business in Manassas that was opening up a new venue, and they said, we'd like to do a show. Do you have a show that can fill 600 seats? And I said, not no more, Billy. but I know one that could. So I called Oscar. I texted him, and I said, hey, man, I know you're doing your own thing. It looks like it's going really well, but how about a one-off, split the money right down the middle? We'll just do a live show. People have been asking for it ever since I've been fired. And he gave me, I wouldn't say it was not polite, but it was a very terse, my business goes in different, it was a lot of, you know, blue sky, we'll run it up the flagpole, that type of jargon. I'm like, oh, wow, that's where we're at now. And that's the last time I spoke to him. So I haven't, you know, stuff's happened in my life. I almost died. I fell off a deck, had COVID, all this stuff that happened to
me. How did you almost die?
A deck collapsed while I was fat jokes, please. I was walking with my dog up a deck at the Outer Banks, and the stairs way underneath me, and I literally was hanging off the side of the deck screaming. And I didn't know how far up I was. Yeah, I'm still
wow.
I didn't know how far up I was, so I thought I was on the fourth floor, and I thought I was dead. I did the whole thing where you make your peace with God, and I didn't want my wife to find me, and I was like, I got to fall somewhere where she's not going to find my brain split open, and it was awful. It was awful, and I fell, and I realized I was only one floor up, so I ripped my shoulder and I ripped my leg, but I didn't die. There's nothing protruding. I managed to shove my dog up onto the top deck right before I fell. And the damnable misery of it all is there is these fine Central American gentlemen, God bless them, they're working on the house next door, and they got there right as I was falling. Like, if I could have held on with my big, fat, stupid ass for 10 more seconds, they would have been able to push me up, and I couldn't because I'm such a mess. And, yeah, it took a while to – I'm still physically not 100% recovered, but mentally it takes a while to get over that sort of thing.
But the rental company took care of you.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten a penny from that. But that's something I thought maybe I'd get a call from Oscar on, and no dice. There was nothing there. So.
I didn't even know it.
There's no reason.
The thing about partnerships, and I have found that in my career when things are painful, and this is the only way I can describe it, when things are painful, I move forward.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I don't want that pain again, so I don't go backwards. That's not to say if I bump into people or I was to see people that I would say, hey, sorry it went down like this. Probably, Don and I did that a couple of times. We haven't spoken in years. I only speak for myself. When I feel like somebody has caused me a little pain, I get out of the garage and I keep driving down the street. I don't look back at the garage. It doesn't, because I feel like if I do or I try to repair something, it's going to cause that pain again. Does that make any sense?
Can I interject with you though, Mike? Here's what I got to call you out a little bit. You're on a different level than most of us are with Don, in the way that you don't need to ever talk to Don again. I understand that. But for the same reason I get pissed off at Led Zeppelin is the same reason I get pissed off at you guys, in that if I had something in my life where if I put it together, 10,000 people are going to show up and give me $50 a piece, I will eat that S sandwich for whatever it takes. And that's the part that I've never understood. I don't get it with ONA. I don't get it with you two, because you have reached a different pinnacle and a different level of followership, God bless you, based on your talents and your longevity, where I would be like, and this goes doubly for him because he's crazier than you are. We all know that.
I can only explain it this way. On that level, unlike, I'm going to go down the list of Buzz Burbank, sure, Mark Ronick, Oscar Santana. There are other people I have had in my radio career. I don't have nightmares about them.
Okay.
I still have dreams that involve Don Geronimo.
Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon.
And Rob shares the same thing.
Yeah.
We've discussed it. I don't know whether that might indicate the trauma, but, I still, for a time, was communicating, and sure, then, it's just, I'm not sure I'd want to deal with that,
I would still like to get an occasional call on the last day of vacation.
About how horrible things are.
Exactly.
Oh, don't do that fix it. To me. I'll have another nightmare.
Anyway. You're okay. You got to talk it out, baby. Talk it out.
But yeah, since I'm not going to let you hang alone on that, as far as the idea of, and the last thing I'll say about Oscar, my impression is the same as yours regarding, partnerships are valuable until they're not valuable to him.
Sure.
And then... that's kind of the way I looked at it. And, that's the way I feel about it. And there's never been, any contact there. So it happens. Now let's talk about sunnier things, if we can. So you've got the movie coming out. You still have your Chad Duke store in Fairfax.
That's what it's called.
The Chad Duke store.
Punch it right into the ways.
No, hold it. Wait. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it. Hold on. No. It's,
can you imagine how quickly we would have gone out of business?
Only if there's a good picture of you in the logo.
Oh, my God. No, this imagine? Is. I've read it. I look online. It's got.
Thank you.
I've seen the posts. I've always followed you online.
Thank you.
It's, and I'm not going to F this up. I'm going to say it's the dry goods. It's the. Rob, give me just a little hint. I swear to
okay.
God, I'm not trying
okay,
to do
all
this
right.
as a bit.
I'll make this clever,
you
and you'll be able
like
to get this.
One, if you okay. give me one thing, I'll get it right.
Virginia is not a state. It is?
Commonwealth Dry Goods.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this
there
man.
You go.
There
you
is.
Go.
Commonwealth Dry Goods.
Thank you, Rob.
Yep.
And what the hell is it, anyway? What do you sell there?
They have soda and records.
Thank you, Rob. That's exactly right.
And peanuts.
Also, we have a new spokesperson in the upper quadrant there that I'm going to be contacting after the show. Yes.
Soda and records. And everything else going okay for you?
Yeah,
life is good, even though you've gone through this accident and you're feeling better, I hope.
Yeah, I'm really blessed. It's been wonderful to be on with you guys. I would like to do it more. It feels a little bit like coming home.
That goes for me too.
Yeah,
and maybe we can just have a show where we just jump on Rob. That'd be therapeutic.
I got it. Quick, Rob. I have to tell this. I feel like I tell it every time I'm on. Mike, by the way, I just got from CommonwealthDryGoods.com. I got an order for a guy named Marcus Hodges from Reno, Nevada. That I got because of you. And I get those every week.
Oh, that's cool.
Sacramento,
awesome.
Wichita, any Don and Mike market, I am represented in because you let us fill in. So thank you for that. But
what is the website again for the store?
It's what is that? LemonParty.com.
No.
It's CommonwealthDryGoods.com.
Thank you. Rob's, that's what we're looking for.
I got to put Rob over because every time I see him, it reminds me of the scariest moment I ever had in radio. Is it was the first time that I was allowed to run Ron and Fez live, and it was being piped in from WNEW.
Sure.
And I jacked up the beginning of the show so bad. I didn't hit the ID. The carts didn't fire. And I'm in there melting down. It's Cameron. First time I was allowed to run live programming. And I guess Rob was still cleaning up after your guys' show. And he came in. And I thought, I didn't know much about him. I didn't know. I thought I was going to get an ass kicking. And he just cleaned everything up. I said, don't even worry about it. It happens to everybody the first time. Do you have any questions? And he couldn't have been nicer to me, having no idea who I was. And it really, I think, saved my radio career. Because I was just so in an emotional tsunami thinking I've ruined my favorite radio station.
Well,
so
ever
I'm
since your cancellation, I would appreciate you not telling that story anymore.
Mom's the word. Never again.
Listen, the movie is, Rob, give all the stats because
it
you
is
have them Tapawingo. In front of you.
You can see it at the San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. It's in a room 2 BCF, 2,200 seats that will go fast. And if you want details, go to Instagram, follow Tapawingo Film.
And please watch the trailer and give it a thumbs up. That, you know,
it's
I don't
a great
know,
trailer.
That's
yeah,
how it works.
Worth it.
Yeah, please.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you ever wonder about me and my personality, that was nearly a half an hour with the guy that stole my job. I just always got to give you one of those. Good luck with the movie. You will come
brother.
On again, and I'll come on your thing, and
100%.
We'll do that. We will collaborate in the future. That would be wonderful. Chad Dukes, good to see you.
Good
thank
to see
you
guys.
So much
thank
for
you.
Taking the time to join us.
My pleasure.
And the show continues. Thank you very much, Chad. And that was fun. That was fun. Josh, thanks
be
for
well,
putting Chad that
Wick.
Together.
That's
that was
good
very,
stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Check out Chad Duke show, the Chad Duke Show. Is
we
his
got
daily
a little
show.
News coming up. But first, I really wish you could smell me right now. I smell bright, fresh, and robust. Just like Italian bergamot.
Oh.
That's right. Thanks to Cremo. You deserve freedom from sweat and stink. Cremo's deodorant is designed to provide you, ladies and gentlemen, with 48-hour odor protection. Not ladies, it's a men's deodorant. Men.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce that they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on two special edition products, a salted caramel chip protein bar and a yuzu mango hydration mix. This collaboration grew out of Chef Keller's daily regimen of IQ Bar products. IQ Bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, the salted caramel chip IQ Bar bar has 12 grams of protein and only 1 gram of sugar. Of course, products co-created by a Michelin star chef are going to taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Yes, I love them because they love me. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bar's amazing offerings. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. Remember, text TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. Provide men with 48-hour odor protection. Cremo products are all barber-grade and made with pride, professionalism, and passion to guarantee you quality without compromise. Elevate your deodorant experience with Cremo's two latest signature scents, Italian Bergamot, my fave, and Palo Santo, deep, smoky, refined. Both are great. Remember, deodorant isn't just for smelling good. The scent you choose sets the tone of how you present yourself. Your scent makes an unforgettable impression every time. Make the right impression with Cremo. I may be in Target today. Sniff me out. No, I was in last week, actually. I bought it last week.
And, yeah, there, but there, you know, you go there occasionally. Left. Just there sniff for you.
One left on the shelf. Come on, Cremo. Make sure you keep those shelves filled. Head to Target or Target.com to find Cremo's new line of antiperspirants and deodorants in the Italian Bergamot and Palo Santo scents. Once again, that's Target or Target.com. All right. I'm looking. Hey, look at that. I found it. That's exciting to
you
me.
Sounded disappointed and then delighted.
No, I'm very happy. I'm just trying different things because that's what I do here. We start today with vocabulary. If your daily vocabulary includes at least one four-letter word, we were just talking about it on
yes.
the show, what can be said and what can't be, you're in good, good company. A new survey found 39% of Americans can't get through an average day without swearing at least once.
Yeah, I'd say that's valid.
I'm in the process right now of really, really, really trying to like get my kid to chill out on it because he's around me and I probably should have curbed a little bit of it around him.
I was able to curb my kids, but when Robert came back from college, all bets were off. He was just swearing in front of me and Carrie like it didn't even matter. And, you know, what can you do at that point? You really can't do anything.
Yeah. Oh, you can still soap them.
Soap them.
Yeah.
Do you ever hot sauce them?
That'll work as well.
Soaping in the mouth, hot sauce in the eyes. Anyway, 25% of people swear every day. 12% or 1 in 8 Americans claim they never swear. I believe that. I believe there are people that do that. The poll looked at the settings and scenarios where people think swearing is acceptable or not and which words we find the most offensive. Mm. The top 5 times it's okay to swear are when you're alone. I do that in the car quite a bit.
I do it all the time.
When you've hurt yourself.
When I'm driving down the road, I'm just going, FMF. Yeah.
Do you think there was some cursing when Chad fell off the deck? I bet there was.
Could be.
When you're hanging out with friends. Yeah. You know, I kind of do that.
You want to be cool.
When you're at a sporting event. I don't like it if I've got my kid at a sporting event and somebody's cussing. That's not cool for me.
Josh, I've been to an Orioles game with Josh. It's a blue streak from him.
Swearing on social media is ranked
fifth. I don't curse.
I know you don't.
The top 5 times, because it's a sin, right, Josh?
Well, there's lots of things that are sins. I think there's some things worse than cursing, but yeah.
Okay. Right, he doesn't curse, Mike. He also doesn't covet.
Well, here are the top 5 times.
Okay, thank you.
It's not okay to swear. Church, in front of children, in front of a client at work, swearing at an employee in a store, and swearing in front of your boss. Oh, we broke that rule all the time. They looked at 40 different swear words to see how offensive each one is. And number one.
Do you think you could come up with 40?
No, probably not.
I mean, there has to be a lot of like variations on a theme in that.
I think there are a lot of hybrid words. Number one is a heavy hitter. You don't have to say it, but you can say what you think it is.
Is it the one we discussed earlier this week?
It is.
Okay.
It's the C word. 81% are offended by it. Except, you know, you can go into England and, sit down at a family dinner and say, hey, you C's are fantastic.
But also know that this is the C that leans female as opposed to the C word that leans male.
Exactly. Number two is Mother Effer. Number three, that's 71%.
Yes.
Number three is the B word, 66%. The F word, 65% at number four. The P word, is that like Willows?
Yeah.
That's 62%. That's why another
would,
term.
You know what? I'm just wondering why bitch would outplace those other ones. And because, they're calling it the B word, but we can say bitch.
The reaction, you know. What's in the bowl, bitch?
Well, I just
that's
like
a,
to
that's
think.
That's another time. Yeah. 62%.
It's just, I don't think it doesn't offend me. How about that?
Now, this is called a swear word, but it's apparently the least offensive. Gosh.
Oh, my ears.
But 5% even find that one offensive. You don't find that offensive, do you, Josh? The word
no,
gosh?
I guess I swear then.
Well, you don't find a lot offensive. You might not use swear words, but
I don't use them, but I don't get offended.
But you don't get offended by them.
His original name was Gosh. Gosh Shroka.
Josh Gosh. He had a line of children's overalls.
He did. Josh Gosh Bagosh.
Heck is next at 6%, and 8% are offended if they hear you say darn it. And if you're offended by darn it, then F you. That's what I want to say to that. All right.
Well, that's how they came up with the list of 40 some.
Yeah.
Because there's
darn
all those.
Fudge, you know, all that. But, well, there they are.
I didn't say fudge.
Fudge. I use the real word with Darren McGavin. Oh, that's my little cue for my sound.
Yeah.
Since the movie Superman came out, there's been an increase in Google searches about pet adoption. Josh, you saw it. Is there a reason why people are adopting dogs after Superman? Is there a big dog adoption thing in there? Is that what it is?
The dog's all over the place. Super dog is everywhere. And
his name is Crypto.
Crypto.
Come on.
Sorry, Crypto. Crypto ruined the movie for me. As much as I love the movie, Crypto was the worst thing.
If my comic book knowledge is solid, there is Crypto the super dog, and he's in the movie. There's also Streaky the super cat, and that's not in the movie. And then there's Ace the bat hound that is...
that's all comic book knowledge you're talking about there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like they invented Crypto for this movie. He's always existed.
No, well, Crypto's just all over it.
Okay, and that's why people are adopting dogs.
Yes.
All right, that's it. To a 513% increase. Crypto is a mutt, but he shares some resemblance to a schnauzer. He was created with CGI, but was modeled after director James Gunn's own rescue dog, Ozu.
I think that's what annoys me the most, is it's James Gunn was obsessed with his dog and made a character in the movie for
his dog.
It
is, Mike? It's a Nepo dog, and we don't need that.
Well, Josh is very sensitive to people being obsessed with dogs since he's living with a dog in the Carolinas now.
Oh, Winnie, yes.
Winnie the Boston Terrier. The 2025 Emmy nominees were announced yesterday, and Squid Game got hosed. Good.
Yeah.
Tired of Squid Game. So tired of it. After winning 6 awards for its first season, including Best Drama and Actor, Best Drama Actor, they got 0 nominations for season 2. Deserve it.
Yeah.
I looked at about a half an hour of it. I couldn't stand it.
I don't like Squid. I don't like the game. I don't like any of it.
Yeah.
And I don't like Foreign.
Well, we know that.
As far as
we know,
Mike.
Your politics, Josh. We know how that works.
Right.
The Handmaid's Tale only got 1 nod for Cherry Jones' guest starring role.
Oh, Cherry Jones.
Yellow Jackets got nada this year for its
good,
third
because
season.
It's fallen apart. That sucks, too.
Despite getting 10 nominations for its first 2. Patrick Schwarzenegger was not recognized for going full frontal in The White Lotus. As for the positives, Martin Scorsese and Ron Howard received their first ever Emmy nominations for acting for guest starring on Seth Rogen's show The Studio, another show I didn't like that much.
Horrible, but I gotta root for Ron Howard. For someone that's been in the business that long to get an Emmy, I think
pretty
that
cool.
would be awesome. Yeah.
At 83, Harrison Ford got his first Emmy nod for Apple TV's Shrinking. Fantastic in that.
Yeah.
I even watched a lot of it, but I've seen him enough to know that he's really good in that.
Wouldn't it be great if he won? Because then we could get a great Harrison Ford speech, because he hates it.
Yeah,
he would be so horrible up there.
And now the man in the upper right will be very excited to know that the oldest nominee for Best Drama Actress was given to Kathy Bates for Matlock.
Mm-hmm.
She's 77. You still watch it, right?
I watched every episode, and I recommend it to anyone who looks at it. It's a fantastic show.
I truly think it's the best show on regular TV.
Matlock is?
Yeah.
Yes.
On broadcast TV.
On broadcast TV, yes.
Yeah. Especially when Kathy Bates shows a little leg.
I think you two are going to look at him laugh. You
know, it's a very good show
together. That's amazing.
It's
I think
great.
That's fantastic. And as if Drake hasn't been having a bad enough time, Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl halftime show got 4 nominations, including Outstanding Live Variety Special. Severance leads all shows with 27 nominations.
It's an unpleasant show.
Followed by The Penguin with 24, The Studio, and The White Lotus have 23 apiece. The Last of Us rounds out the top 5 with 16. The Emmys air Sunday, September 14. CBS comedian Nate Bargatze is hosting. That's a good choice.
I like him.
He will be very, very funny. I think of this every time there's a story about this. I think of Rob Spiewak. Rob, it's Annabelle. It's another Annabelle story.
Annabelle, you know? Is that doll. That crazy doll. You know what she'll do? She'll kill you.
This seems like a news I wrote just for you today. You
Thank
know those
you.
Annabelle horror movies are based on an alleged true story,
That's
right?
That's true about the doll.
Except the real Annabelle isn't a creepy-looking porcelain doll. It's a Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, like, you know, Raggedy Ann is that wanted doll going to get you.
This is the real one they're talking about
The
here.
One that they based the movie on.
A supposedly haunted Raggedy Ann. A supposedly haunted Raggedy Ann who may have killed a guy.
No.
Annabelle has been on a tour that included a 3-day stop in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which we all know from that area is a very haunted town.
It is.
After day 3 on Sunday, a 54-year-old man named Dan Rivera died unexpectedly. Dan was the paranormal investigator who was accompanying Annabelle on her tour. Annabelle is owned by
the doll. The doll had an accompaniment.
The Annabelle is, it's got to be carried to the.
Do not open. Don't open that haunted doll box. Don't you open it. Yeah.
Annabelle is owned by the New England Society for Psychic Research, and they paid tribute to Dan on Monday.
How?
But they, I don't know how, but they didn't blame the doll for his death. It was just.
You know, it was hard to find him because no one had his Gettysburg address.
Bada bing, bada boom, ladies and gentlemen. And finally,
yes,
Fauja Singh, an Indian-born runner nicknamed the Turbaned Torpedo, who was believed...
That's a good name.
Who was believed to be the world's oldest marathon runner, has died after being hit by a car.
He
was 114.
Oh, that's a shame.
Local media in India reported that Singh sustained severe head injuries in a hit-and-run accident on Monday while he was crossing the road at his native village near Jalandhar. Jalandhar in Punjab.
Oh, yeah.
That's where he got hit by a car. Singh became the oldest man to run a full marathon in 2011 at the age of 100 in Toronto. His accomplishment was not recognized by the Guinness World Records because he did not have a birth certificate to prove his age. Singh had a British passport that showed his date of birth as April 1st, 1911,
right.
While a letter from Indian government officials stated that birth records were not kept in 1911. I guess if he didn't have a birth certificate, then he didn't have a driver's license, which meant he had to walk everywhere. Well, you know, that's what happened, okay? That's the way, that's the deal. That's the deal, Wade.
Oh, we don't arrange that here, no.
I don't arrange that kind of thing. You got to walk. You got to walk and continue. We have lots more show continuing on the Mike O'Mara Show. But first, I want to share with you a fine sponsor of our show, or it just ended. There you go. I screwed it up. I didn't add things to my prompter the right way because I don't have a printer, and that's
terrible. You're going electronic. Mike, you know what you probably could use is a nice glass of wine from Naked Wines.
Thank you, Naked Wines. Very, very good special right now. You can get 20. How much off is Naked Wines? Do you have it in front of you?
I think it's 6 bottles for $29.99.
That's
crazy.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good deal. I have to share this story with you with Naked Wines. With Naked Wines, right around Thanksgiving time when I have my daughters over, we bought a case of Naked Wines wine. We did not get a clunker in the entire case. It was fantastic.
That's so great.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is value. I recommend you go to Naked Wines and check it out because it really is absolutely incredible.
The best way to access it, we've got a bug right on the front side of our website. You can click it. It'll take you right there, get you in on that discount. And folks, it is. My mom didn't believe me that I said this was wine for that price. It's so good, she called me a liar. How about that?
Your mom called you a liar?
She always does.
Well, you're not drinking wine anymore.
Oh, I know. That's why I had to give it to her.
I get it. I understand. Thank you. I get jokes. So check out Naked Wine. It's fantastic. You will love it as well. And I'm going to get the information to you right now because that's what I do, people. Because I'm a broadcast professional.
You are?
God damn it.
What?
Thank you, Epson. F*** you, Epson.
No, Mike, just because we had a guest that was doing that doesn't mean you should do that.
Well, I was ready to go. I thought I came in here early to get it all going. So anyway, Naked Wines, you need to join the family. NakedWines.com/TMOS. Put in our code for both the code and the password, and you'll get 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 mm-hmm. with shipping included. That's NakedWines.com/TMOS and the code TMOS for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99. Now drink up, Shriners. Rob, you've been trying to talk about this for a few days now.
What's that?
And that, of course, is the grossest phone accessory.
Okay.
Take it away.
Yeah, this is disgusting. Do you have a phone case that you put on your phone?
I have a clear phone case that
I put
on my phone.
Me too. It's just plain plastic, just protects the corners. And Josh, you've got a black one, but it's very simple, right?
Yeah, it's just simple.
All right. What would you feel if someone got you a phone case that was made of silicon that felt like human skin? And further, how would you feel if this skin was designed to be photosensitive so it's sunburned to remind you to get out of the sun if you've been out there too long? So you've got what feels like human skin on your phone and it can sunburn. That's disgusting and horrifying to me.
Why, again, because I'm confused.
Why do you need it to feel like skin?
I don't know why this guy thinks it needs to feel like skin, but it is a silicon, however you want to say it, phone case.
Well, isn't it Silicon Valley and silicone is the material?
Perhaps. I don't know. I'm not as... Okay. I don't. But this thing feels like human skin. It even has the texture of human skin.
It's nasty.
And all it made me think of was, do you remember when we had those weird sex dolls in the studio?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to move one and I grabbed it by the head and the skin like moved over the skull like a real head. And it totally flipped me out because it was a little too like a person for a doll to be. And I don't like this notion of a sunburned phone that looks like human skin.
You know what it makes me think about?
What's that?
Annabelle.
Hey, you get that doll?
Annabelle's scary.
I tell you what, that doll.
Watch
absolutely.
Out for Annabelle's going to eat your face. Yes, Jerry. I'm Baby Billy Freeman. Uncle Baby Billy Freeman saying Annabelle's going to eat your face. So they make it to feel and look like real skin.
But here's the other thing that they're trying to market this, and I can't see this being effective. It sunburns. It is reactive to UV. So when your phone turns red, you have to go inside because you've been in the sun. But then I have to wonder, does it peel? Because a really good sunburn will make you peel. And it'd be fun to peel your phone, but the whole thing is just gross to me.
It is disgusting.
It is.
It looks like something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Or that teddy bear that we had yesterday.
Oh, the skin bear, yes.
That is not cool. That is like...
I like that there's a hole in the skin for your camera.
What's the what's the finger for?
I think you know.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
That means nothing.
It does mean nothing.
What are the logos in back of it? What was that? So just a random table that was put on or something like that? It's nastiness. It's pure nastiness.
So this guy that I feel has got some weird sexual fetish that he's making human skin-like phones, he's trying to market it as this is important for people to protect their skin. But this guy's got to be a creep if he's making a phone case that feels like human skin. Just my take.
I would think so. I mean, there have been too many horror movies to mention that have that. And I think really when you think about phone cases mm-hmm. and how much those are in our pocket, out of our pocket, put on a table, put at dinner, put up the phone. And when you remove a phone case –
Yeah.
It can sometimes be a pretty gross experience, too.
Sure, because there's goo and nonsense in there. Yes.
It's like just like, you know, another gross thing, and you guys aren't watch guys like I am, but mm-hmm. I watch a lot of watch repair videos, and when you see a watch that's been worn for 40 years by, like a Rolex is dismantled that's been worn by a guy for 40 years. It is, what it appears to be is skin. It appears to be flecks of skin. It is so disgusting when they take off the top.
It's sealed, right. Though. How does it get into the Rolex?
Apparently,
the first photo I had was one where they tried it 5 years ago. Here's the new one.
Here's the new version.
This is the one that will respond to the sunburn.
Now, here's what's horrifying. Look at the bottom.
Hold on. The cleft. There appears to be a cleft. It looks like butt cheeks.
Well, no, Mike. What that is it's hand-carved wrinkles to look like your palm.
Yeah, it's your palm. Look at your palm.
It's got that line on it. And this guy hand-sculpted those. He started with a 3D printer, then hand-sculpted it to look like skin.
You know, we have the time where I can dovetail into something I wanted to ask you guys about, because that's the kind.
Sure.
That's the kind of BS.
Is it about skin?
It's not about skin, but it's about tech. It's about tech because when I look at that, I say, why are we? That's what gets noticed. That's what people pay attention to.
Yeah.
I saw an article about iPhones. That will be developing. The Apple company is Apple is developing better charging. And I wrote this down. If you could improve one area of tech, what would it be? I really had that question for Josh. Mine would be charging, because I think charging is such a pain in the ass.
First thing that popped in my head.
Charging is everything.
Faster and make it last longer.
They don't seem to move forward. And another thing. Go ahead.
I've been told that battery technology is just something we can't get past. We're constantly working on battery technology and not getting any further.
I don't know. Duracell is pretty good.
No, he's talking about charging batteries.
Batteries. The batteries in your phone, the batteries in these Teslas, that they haven't found a way to make a better battery in a long time.
Now, do the Tesla batteries, I'm curious, because my most experience with batteries of a large size are on my father's golf cart. Do batteries in a Tesla wear out after being recharged a certain number of times?
They do. Yes.
Yeah, okay. They do. They're not cheap to replace.
And they fill landfills.
I mean, probably the most expensive thing to replace on a Tesla.
I don't know. Well, you know, I drive an electric car also.
Yes.
I've been very curious about exactly what and when that time will come. Mm-hmm. I am told to charge between 50% and 85%, to not go charge over 85% and not let it go below 50%.
That's witchcraft. Why would they make it that way? That's stupid.
It's a battery life issue, and when you're talking about an automobile, it is a lot more significant than your cell phone. Why are you saying that, old man? Tell me why.
I don't know about that. Because if they really didn't want you to exceed 85, they would make 85 100. So you're thinking that it's full, but it's like your gas gauge.
Zero is never means my car is going to stop. I can run that car all the way down to zero gas left, and it'll still get me a mile or two to the gas station.
Do you buy that story about the battery life where you charge? I know that is a fact.
Yes.
Yeah. I just don't. I mean, it can be a fact. I just don't like it. I think it's stupid. They should develop a battery.
Or do you not believe it?
Oh, I believe it, but I think they're handling it badly.
Who?
Big battery.
Big battery.
They're out to get you. But seriously, I mean, it's not in your mind to charge something to 85%.
Well, no. When you charge my electric car, you program it to charge to 85%. You think you have to go out there and like look at the meter? Old man, is that what you think?
It's like at the gas station. You got to just press the pump and release it at the right time.
You are. Sometimes you really are an old guy. Why would I know that
if I'd never had an electric car?
I think that it's just interesting because charging is something that you can program to with other stuff. You got the little percentages on your phone. Right?
That's true. I didn't know you had a percent. I didn't know you could program. You can't program your phone to stop at 85%.
No, yes, you can. Your phone, when you plug your phone
in
at night.
Stay out of this, Josh.
Rob, when you plug your phone in at night, if you plug it in when it's at like 70%, it'll say, it'll give you a little warning that it's going to do the trickle charge, and it'll be fully charged by 6 a.m. It's not going to do a hurry up and charge.
The funny because part of it, I'm going to look at my charging, of course, and I have to go, God, I'm calling him old man. I can hardly freaking find it. And now, where are my icons?
But you know, they they talk about you shouldn't ever fully charge your iPhone when you get it or something like that to extend the battery life. I've tried everything and the battery always is good for like 8 months and then it starts being suspect. And I just think it's funny that you would bring up charging, Mike. It's what drives me crazy too.
68%
but not for the same
right
reason.
Now, Rob.
That's great. That's really good. That's a passing grade.
Rob,
I'm at 97.
If you go on your phone and click battery, there's a button that says charging limit. And you can press it and you can choose where you want to charge your battery to.
I am so glad I came to work today.
There you go. You learn something every day on the show. I appreciate it.
I'm not allowed to charge anything, Carrie says.
That's big time fun, everybody. Hey, Rob, I'll cheer you up when we come back talk about my old man arms. But first, I want to ask
we'll
you a
question. We'll charge them, Mike.
I want to ask you a question, folks. Isn't it time for you to join the TMOS bonus show family?
Yes.
Hell to the yes. Did you say hells to the yes?
Yeah, I actually updated it to make it a little more hip. It's hells to the yes.
Hells to the yes. Every day we are maximizing the bonus show experience because better access means more fun. We're giving you more because you deserve more, like our state-of-the-art TMOS extras. These episodes are so much fun, and they are only available to bonus show subscribers. Great extra content that you will love. Or sign up for commercial-free TMOS, which also includes the bonus show every week. Plus, every bonus show team member gets first dibs on exciting TMOS offers and instant access to the exclusive TMOS supporters Facebook page. Just visit MikeO'MaraShow.com. Come back to where you belong, the TMOS bonus show family. Remember, your bonus subscription is the power behind everything TMOS. So when you grab that bonus subscription, you are making sure all the great stuff keeps on coming. Be a hero. Be a helper. For additional details, visit the bonus show tab at MikeO'MaraShow.com. And remember, we promise not to bone you.
Mm-hmm.
You will not get boned.
That's right.
So please, don't bone us.
That's right. All bone us show.
I'm not going
to
show
shout
a
out to
up.
Josh the intern.
I'm going to show a long shot. You see the dark mark?
Is that scabs?
No. Yeah.
Did a dog bite you?
Leprosy?
No. These are the old man arms.
A tattoo.
Last year, when I went to a dermatologist, because you go to dermatologists when you're out in the sun, and then sometimes they burn things off your face. And I pointed out that I had this little bruise-like thing on my arm. He said, this was his quote. I remember it. He said, get used to it. I'm just letting you guys know what's down
what
the road.
What a dick.
He said, you can bump up against a wall now.
Yeah.
Because your skin is
paper thin.
It's paper thin. It's not thin as much. I don't know what it is, but I am developing it on a rapid basis.
You know what you need? You need one of those phones.
Yeah, put the phone over it. Just put the phone case on your arm.
Yes.
A lot of guys wear the sleeves when they're out golfing. I should probably do that.
You should probably wear a coat and tie when you go golfing.
Hey, you know, Judge Benny, my buddy Judge Benny, the judge, went to Pinehurst, wore a linen shirt with a white bow tie to play at Pinehurst like they used to. And a caddy master got him out on the lawn and said to all the pros, this is the way you used to have to dress to get on Pinehurst.
And then the other players knocked him down and tickled him.
No, they beat him to death.
Good. He deserves it with his
Josh,
stupid
you were
going to
say something?
Well, I was going to say, I learned this week that the most common place for like cancerous sunspots is your ears.
Yeah.
Because no one ever covers up the ears.
I sunscreened my ears this morning.
I don't know why I got my sunscreen I didn't put there, and I got the cancer on my anus.
That's lovely. That's what a lovely thought that is. Sunscreen.
Start wearing pants.
You don't have to worry. You never have to worry about sunscreen. No, when you go to the park, you probably do. Do you screen up when you go to the park?
Yes, of course.
Okay. But then is there any time outside of Kingston you go out of doors?
Well, you know what? Remember a couple years ago, I got a very nasty sunburn because I did not lotion up before going tubing. And the river was slow that day, and it fried me. Mm-hmm. It was really bad.
And the driveway sunbathing.
That's true. Yeah. And no towel. That's the rule. You got to just lay on the pavement.
And then people walk by in the neighborhood and whisper to each other, anal cancer.
They also say, disc jockey.
I
just get baby oil all over my body and I go lay on the pavement. That's what
all right,
I do. Yeah. It's a freak. It's a freak out.
It's like an air fryer near your lawn. Do you have a beautiful video for us
so
today?
Much, and it's gorgeous.
That's wonderful. Looking forward to that. But first, I want to tell you about cat owners.
Yes.
We have a few cat owners in our audience, and you should check out our next sponsor, cat owners, Smalls. Smalls Cat Food, protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients that you'd find in your very own fridge. And it's delivered right to your door. That's why Cats.com named Smalls their best overall cat food.
Meow. Food.
To get 35% off plus an additional 50% off your first order, head to Smalls.com and then use that wonderful code that you know and love, TMOS. That is for a limited time only. The team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love the product that you can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Buy some right meow meow. Now, meow. What are you waiting for? Give your cat the food they deserve for a limited time only. No, just give that cat the food they deserve.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say that, like, do it for a limited time
only. Well, the cat isn't going to live forever.
And you put a period at the end of that. Give your cat the food they deserve.
Yes. Hard stop.
For a limited time only, because you are a Mike O'Mara Show listener, you can get 35% off Smalls, plus an additional 50% off your first order by using my code TMOS. That's an additional 50% off when you head to smalls.com and use promo code TMOS. Again, promo code TMOS for initial 50% off your first order. I told you that already. Plus, free shipping at smalls.com. So hit it.
Ah, yes.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Come on now.
Jerry time.
New York City, Mike.
W-O-R-F-N, New York.
You think you had a bad day. Let's say, Mike, are you still parasailing?
I do. You know that one time where I had a bit of a problem with it, where the wind just took me a little too high?
Yeah, I remember.
You
were out for a week and a half.
I'm
sunburn.
No, it had nothing to do with that. I'm 66 years old. Who needs two testicles?
Mike, at least this isn't what happened to you. I would say this. Even though you can see in front of you when you're parasailing, keep in mind the parachute's above you. So even if you're going to make it under the power lines.
Well, where is it going to be, in the water?
Well, no, but I think sometimes people look ahead and they say, clear sailing for me. They're not thinking that they have to think about stuff that's 20 feet above them.
But if they're parasailing, they really can't look back and see the parachute.
Observe. Paragliding.
Paragliding.
Beautiful. Power line.
Oh! Whoa! Oh, no! Oh, jeez!
Look at you. Want to know what makes Josh Sirocco really like unhinge his jaw and laugh? Yeah. Play something where someone almost dies.
I didn't expect it, even though you set it up as the power lines are there. Yeah. I didn't expect the
Let's
pop
take another
like that.
Look.
Yeah. Let's take another peek at it.
Here it comes.
Whoa! Oh no! Oh jeez!
That's not fun.
I also like the voiceover.
Was that one of the sheriffs from Fargo? Can I get a threefer on that, please?
Sure, Mike. I don't arrange that stuff.
Did the guy live?
I think he's well. He's sustained some injuries, but he's well.
Good. That's good.
Here he comes.
Whoa! Oh no! Oh jeez!
There's just a small arc of electricity when he hits.
Yeah,
and that's what
just,
I love.
Not enough to throw the electricity down into the cockpit.
No,
or anything like
that. I told him not to use wires instead of rope. That.
Well, it was like it's like when a bird flies into a window.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Mike, did you watch enough of the All-Star game that you got to hear the pitcher and the catcher mic'd up?
Not a lot. I watched the highlights today, and I thought it was, you know, as much as I trashed the Home Run Derby, I think the All-Star Game turned out to be a pretty good game, and it was
kind of
fun.
And they had the new ending where it was, what is it called? A swing-off. I thought that sounded pretty fun, but this, to me, was almost disorienting because it's so not baseball to have the pitcher and the catcher talking with the guys in the booth all at the same time.
It was fun.
The catcher calls for a pitch that the pitcher doesn't throw.
What do you want, Smoltz? What do you want?
Cutter in, slider in.
I don't throw a cutter.
He doesn't slider in.
Slider. Cutter. Son of a.
That's Clayton Kershaw.
That was short.
Well, it's two guys that never play together, so he doesn't know all his pitches.
Two, two.
By the way, hold, stop. You're getting it wrong. He's talking to Schmaltz up in the booth.
Oh, okay, got it.
The guy that asked him to throw a cutter is not the catcher, Rob.
It's the announcer.
It's the guy that's in the booth.
Oh, okay.
And I did see this, and it's Clayton Kershaw who is talking to them, and he said, I don't throw a cutter, Schmaltzy, which means, and I think he still tries to throw it, and it goes into the dirt. So
yeah,
play it again.
One more time.
What do you want, Smoltz? What do you want?
Cutter in, slider in.
I don't throw a cutter.
He doesn't slider in.
Slider.
Cutter.
Son of a.
It's going to make him mad.
That was short.
It was short.
I love Kershaw.
How about this splitty? Break out the splitty.
All right, what's the count? 2-2? Yeah, this 2-2. Is so weird talking to you guys.
He's talking to the broadcast booth.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I thought the catcher was in on it. Forgive me. But anyway, no. Still quite entertaining.
Right.
Today, 30 years ago today, Mike, what happened?
Somebody 30 years ago today, mm-hmm. Paul McCartney did something?
No, they launched a new site on the internet where you could buy books.
Amazon?
And it was called Amazon.
Jeff Bezos.
And what is your claim to fame?
I'm the founder of Amazon.com.
Where did you get an idea for Amazon.com?
Well, 3 years ago, I was in New York City working for a quantitative hedge fund when I came across the startling statistic that...
You know what? Even after 30 years, still
Thank
a dick.
You. Yeah. Thank you. As a matter of fact, that was my bad. I was kind of staring
no,
at him.
No, that's all right. I mean, so. It's just, I'm just, you know, I'm regarding history. Now,
can you play it one more time, please?
I'll play you a small piece of it, sure.
I didn't
sure.
do my job.
Growing at 2,300% a year. So I decided I would...
Thank you.
Did you want to see... I would like you to see just a little bit. I hate to go back to the All-Star game after we left it. But the tribute to Hank Aaron, I don't think is going to be as newsworthy tomorrow. And I want you to see this because he hit his all-time home run lead. His lead, was it 715 is the record? Mike?
It's the record for home runs.
Yeah, he broke it.
715. He broke the home run record.
In this stadium or in Atlanta. Yeah. And so they did this.
How did you phrase that at the beginning? I forgot. And it was
Rob, it's not this stadium. This is a newer stadium.
In Atlanta, though, it's the same.
Yes.
It's the same organization, right?
All right, here we go.
Same state, right. Yes.
If you are going to play sports videos, you have to pay a little more attention to them. Just
I'm sorry,
bit.
What?
Thank you. Let's let's look at the tribute
let's relive
to the
that
great Hank.
Marvelous,
it's pretty amazing.
Milestone in baseball history.
Not that the network timed it right, but. So this is projected on the field.
Take a mind reader to read the collective mind that's here in this ballpark tonight. They came to see him pass the bay.
Once again, a standing ovation for Henry Aaron. Though the confrontation for the second time, Aaron walked in the second inning. He means the tying run at the plate now, so we'll see what Downing does. Now at the belt. Delivers, and he's low, ball one. And that just adds to the pressure.
He's sitting on 714. Here's the pitch by Downing. Swinging.
That firework was at the same trajectory as his home run.
There's a new home run champion of all time, and it's Henry Aaron. The fireworks are going. Henry Aaron is coming around third. His team
This is so much more impressive than the Home Run Derby presentation.
Oh, it really is. You stop watch it, even a replay, and I will tell you the same thought I had.
What's
years
that?
And years ago when I actually watched that as a young person. Boy, those Braves uniforms were ugly.
Yeah, truly.
God, they were
truly
ugly.
But
they
TVs
really
were smaller
sucked.
Then. You didn't really see them very well.
Yeah,
I'm not a sports guy, as you guys know. I found that emotional. I thought that was so beautifully done.
Let's try it again. What did Hank Aaron do?
He was playing in Atlanta.
No. I'm seriously. What did he do?
He broke the home run record from Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth had hit 714.
From Babe Ruth.
Yeah. How would you say it, Vin?
He broke Babe Ruth's home run record.
That was good.
Not the home run record from Babe Ruth, smartass.
No,
right?
I think what I said was grammatically correct. Might not play in the locker rooms, but he took the home run record from Babe Ruth, right?
Well, Babe came and gave it to him.
No, he
said,
took
here you
it.
Go.
I never said giving. This is all about taking.
Oh, God.
I'm going to get emotional again.
Do you have any more beautiful video, Rob?
I do.
Okay, good. Good, good.
I'm scared to describe it, though. Hope I don't screw it up.
Well, it's only your sports jargon that you get confused on. That's
because
you don't follow any real sports.
High a lie.
High a lie is not. It's high lie.
Is it?
It's not high a lie.
Well, I took a
it's
record.
High lie. You don't pronounce the A. You don't. I have to say it.
It's but it's not. There, right? There is an A
but
there.
It's not high a lie. It's high lie.
All right. How about this?
What?
Football.
Yes. Very good. Very good. And it's you good. Watch football sometimes.
Sure.
Let's move on, shall we? This is awkward.
Is it?
Yeah, a little
for
bit.
You, you don't like this?
Maybe focus on the tech of that Hank Aaron thing instead of what happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow's show will be better. God, I hope so.
No,
here's
good.
A wedding.
I didn't watch it live, so I'm glad
okay,
I
Mike,
saw that.
Here's a wedding, and I don't know, did this happen at any of your weddings?
There you go. There, a little punchback, huh? Yeah, jamming it to the big guy.
They had a great idea, is when they present the bride and the groom, they're going to have some mild fireworks inside to make it exciting.
Oh, no.
Just watch the balloons. That's all you need to do, because the couple isn't watching them. Because they're dancing.
Okay.
Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
They're dancing, having a great time. Look in the left side of your screen at the yellow balloons.
Oh, no. Oh,
and yet,
no.
Look, they're still dancing.
Sprinklers on? Do they have a sprinkler system in there?
The sprinklers will come.
The drummers notice it, but they can't stop playing.
No, and now look, it's getting smoky in the venue. It's literally smoky in the venue. And they're dancing, and they're having a great time. I did see the follow-up. The sprinklers went on, and the venue was blackened, Mike.
Did you see the caption that said the wedding was fire?
Yes, exactly. That is what we have for you today.
Ethnic ceremony they were having there, you know? I'm not sure what country it was from, but it was interesting.
I remember the drums at your wedding.
Yeah. Yes, they were. That was the Gene DiNatti Orchestra, the one you went to.
I do, yeah, but I was talking about the one during the ceremony.
Oh, that's
the
wonderful.
Bongos.
Yeah. The impending doom bongos, we like to call them. That's it. We got to get out of here. Thanks to Chad Dukes. The movie is called Tapawingo.
Follow all details, Instagram, Tapawingo Film, and you'll be able to find out about it. And if you're in San Diego, go to Comic-Con this weekend. Check it out.
That's it. We got to get out of here. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
You see, the record was held by Babe Ruth.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.